This is Person of Interest for Q102's Jeff Thomas. I think that sounds great.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Harvey, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Harvey Lewis. I'm Harvey Lewis. I'm a teacher at SCPA. And
you're also an internationally known ultra runner. You're really famous in the running world.
Maybe a little bit.
You are. I told people that you were coming on this show, and they were my really intense athletic friends, and they are stunned. They are like, do you have any idea who you're talking to? And, you know, we mentioned you have a film coming out. It's out already, Like Harvey, Like Sun, and it played at Mountain Film Festival, Mountain Film Aspen. I worked for the Mountain Film Festival for 6 years before I moved to Cincinnati. And people used to tell me all the time then, do you have any idea who you're talking to? These people are amazing. And what I have found through this, they're now like meeting so many like people who have commercial fame, more traditional fame, and people like yourself. It's the accomplishments that you create in life that really inspire people. And you are such an accomplished person.
I just went off so much.
That's really true.
That is such an incredible. I mean, I can't respond. Okay. I don't know what to say.
I can go. Okay, so like, I can.
Wow, thank you
made
very
a short
much.
List.
I really appreciate that. For me, it's an honor to come here and be a part. It's my first time to Q102 as well.
And welcome.
It's a lot of fun to be out here with you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so if I would try to write down or to go through all of the runs, I think this is what I remember. So you won the Badwater Race, which is the hardest race in the world. You won it in 2014. You just tried to run the fastest race of the Appalachian Trail, which a couple of my friends have tried to do that as well, to no avail. And you finished in, was it 49 days?
Yeah, I think I got the record of the most falls. Yeah, I had like more than 100 falls.
Really?
And I didn't break anything.
Awesome.
So that was like a major achievement. But I made the eighth fastest time.
Eighth fastest time.
Yeah, it was not a race. It's an effort where you go for the fastest known time.
Yeah.
And you plot it. You have it like everything sent out GPS-wise so people can follow along and you can build your, have a legitimacy.
Yeah.
And it's quite an extraordinary piece of geography in this country.
Wow. Well, you say that so well because, let's see, in your day-to-day life, these are just a couple of fun facts about Harvey. And I don't know you, but this is what I've read. He's a very, very easy man to research if you Google his name. So you run to and from school every day, which is 6 miles to and from. He has ran like 44 24-hour races.
That's probably better than I can remember.
That's probably
no, it's pretty good.
Probably, I don't know if that number's accurate, but you're an insane runner. And you've ran like 56 hours consecutively once. And like, Badwater is 100.
Yeah,
okay, how is that fun?
Yeah, that race is coming up this weekend, in fact, Big Backyard. And basically the format is that it's a last person standing event. So you run about a 4.12 mile loop, and you repeat that every hour on the hour. You're not allowed to start until the hour resets. And so it's just the last person standing. You do 12 hours on a trail, and then you rotate 12 hours on a road, and you have to go through whatever the world brings you at that moment. So like the first night, we had really warm temperatures. It was in the like upper 70s, and you could feel it. It doesn't sound like that warm, but when you're running and you're generating sweat, you feel it. And then the second day, we had the harshest downpour I've ever experienced in my life, and it just rained all night long.
Oh, my goodness.
So three of us managed to make it beyond, I think it was about a day and a half, and then the third guy, who was a Scandinavian, he dropped out at that point, and then it was a Frenchman and myself, Galimo, and we made it into the second day, and I thought, this guy is certainly going to stop now, won't he? And he didn't stop. So he kept on running, and I made it to about almost 2.5 days, and I was thinking, man, I have to get back to teaching the next day.
Two and a half days of consistently running. Did you stop at all?
Only for about 4 minutes, like
stop.
5 minutes, like where I would have, if I ran really fast, I could actually finish a lap in maybe under 50 minutes on the road course. And so I had maybe 10 minutes where I could like grab a little food and like try to lay down, but I could never get myself to fall asleep because my heart rate was going. And I was also like anticipating this guy named Laz. He's a He's a legend in the ultra running world. He's like the godfather, and he has a system where if you miss the start and you don't get back into the starting block, then you forfeit. So you're out. So it's hard to sleep because you're constantly waiting for that next whistle for the 3 minutes, the 2 minutes, and then to go. So at one point on that course, I actually just made it back with literally a second to spare.
Yeah.
So it was like they thought it was over, and I managed to make it back with like a sprint, and then I it just barely, like by, it was like Indiana Jones going underneath the door slamming. It barely happened.
Yeah, okay,
it
yeah,
barely
but
barely happened. But
you really to break it down a second could
won.
Be.
He won the
Wait,
race.
So you came in second?
I came in second, but it was a really good finish. It was really nice. Galimo, he's a good character. He was kind of like a brother, always teasing me back and forth. And so I'm going to be back there, not this year, but next year. I'm going back in 2020.
Okay.
So we'll try to break like 300 miles next year.
And how come, oh my gosh. And how come you're not going back this year?
Well, this year I have a race in France. It's just 10 days away. It's a 24-hour world championship.
All right.
So I'll be representing the country along with six women and six men total. And so, yeah, this is my fifth time representing the country in this
on Team USA.
Yeah, so because of that, that's why I'm deferring this year because I love the big backyard.
Yeah. Wait. So does the United States have an Olympic long distance running team?
They
so
do not.
This is like the Olympics, pretty
for
much
us, for
you
ultra
guys.
Running. It
yeah,
is
ultra running.
Yeah,
yes.
For ultra running, it is because for the longest distance we have in the Olympics is the marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we also had some magic over the weekend, like the women's record was broken
yes.
in Chicago.
Oh my
the
gosh.
Record stood since 2003.
Right? And then how long was it?
Iliad like went south yes, too. I mean, it wasn't a record in the sense of like, because it wasn't a part of official race, but it's just phenomenal to see him. And he has such a good spirit. You know, he's a really humble guy. Just someone like really, I think it would inspire a lot of people.
Yes. Well, and like yourself. So I hear all of these, you're telling me all these stories about running and all this long distance running and all of this stuff that you do. And for those of you who can't see Harvey Lewis, know what he looks like, you look like a very normal, healthy person.
I've got some gray hair.
Yeah.
What's going on? I'm losing hair. My students might.
But you look like a very, we see all these stories, you read all these stories of people who cross the finish line and they fall, do they collapse to their death and all this stuff. And so what I want to ask you is, like, you are putting your body through so much peril, but you look like you're in such harmony, like with your mind, your body and spirit all looks like, you're in so much harmony and you talk about it. And I've read that your recovery time is never very much. How do you maintain that?
You know, there's some really important practices that can help everybody out there, whether you're an athlete or you're just enjoying walking and or whatever you're doing. Some of the things that really make an impact are what I eat, my nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
So to be honest with you, there's a film that just came out today on Netflix called Game Changers.
Okay.
And it's a phenomenal film to check out, but it's produced by Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jackie Chan. And
are you in it?
I'm not in it.
Okay.
No, but honestly, it's really powerful. They talk about some of the things that we think are healthy in this country that actually are not so good for you.
Like
such
what?
As dairy, for example.
Yeah.
Like dairy. I drink almond milk. I don't drink it. I don't consume any dairy. And that's like when I was growing up, my mom was a nurse. She always said, oh, you have to eat meat and drink dairy in order to be healthy. And if you talk to a cardiologist, they're going to talk to you. If you say, hey, what can I do to like eliminate medication or to lower my cholesterol, to improve my health, increase so many categories. It's leaning more towards a plant-based diet, like eating more plant-based foods. So honestly, like Friday, I ran four times. The next day I woke up, I didn't feel any soreness whatsoever. Like nothing whatsoever. I mean, and I just I eat a lot of calories. I actually eat about 3,600 calories a day.
Wow.
So I'm always eating. Like, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I have like a little stash in my Jeep outside because I let you down. I didn't run over here. What's going on? But it's like true, like the food makes a tremendous impact. Yeah. And what people think is actually the best thing for them might not be the best thing. My mom had a stroke when I was, it was about 25 years ago, believe it or not. And that's the moment where I really started to research like what we're fed in terms of marketing and what is actually out there in terms of what can be really beneficial to your body. So nutrition is really big.
Yeah, this is something passionate to me as well. I'm not as strict about it as you are. I've gone through phases of being vegan. I'm non-dairy now all the time and limited amount of meat. But I've gone through phases of being more strict about it and whatnot. But in college, I stopped eating I ate fast food. And I was just a normal American diet, which is not very healthy. And I quit eating all fast food and more processed foods because I did so much research on it. And I was on the debate team, and it was like my senior thesis, and no one believed me. My professors didn't believe me that these things were happening and these chemicals are in the food. So
yeah, and ever since then, your skin's very healthy. Yeah. I mean, I can tell.
Oh, and I smoked for 18 years. I just quit smoking.
Incredible.
I know, but it's like diet.
I'm so happy you did.
Yeah. Oh, thank
you. So good.
My mom also had a stroke before when she was in her 40s. She had a stroke and a heart attack, and she's always been a smoker. And you know, you just
I'm so glad you did. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
That's so awesome. So. You know, wherever you are at, I mean, you can just exponentially increase or improve your quality of life. And I think that's the thing. A lot of times people are maybe put back by this and they think it will be too difficult or it sounds gross, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But if you look at the benefits in terms of like all of your quality of life, I mean, not just like living longer, but it's a life in your years. Like having the energy level, it's just incredible. So I would definitely, you know, encourage people to check out that film, Game Changers.
Game Changer.
It's a really powerful film. And you don't have to change everything overnight, but just small changes. Breakfast, you have oatmeal. You know, have more servings of fruits and vegetables. I mean, it's really powerful stuff. Definitely. So that's one of my things. The other thing is I really believe in motion. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people think that they should maybe relax on the couch and, you know, if they're not feeling that great or if they have like a minor sort of injury, maybe just relax. And I really think it's important to walk. Like walking is really good for the body, and finding a soft surface to walk on is great. If you can, because your body really will rejuvenate faster by having like motion to believe it or not. Like, and I broke my neck back in 2004, and that's what I did. Like as soon as I was released from the hospital pretty fast, like they got me out of there in like 4 or 5 days with the way our system is. And I didn't take any pain medication after that, even though I felt quite discomfort for like the first 72 hours or so, but the walking really helped to like alleviate that discomfort. Like nothing crazy, just like gentle walking. And I started with what I could start with. Like at first it was like a mile.
Yeah.
And then I just gradually build up.
Walking a mile with a broken neck.
It's so true.
Only
and the other thing is like a lot of times people feel like, well, I really can't do it unless I designate an hour in my day for the gym. So you know, it's not about that. It's about being as creative as you humanly can with what you have available. Mm-hmm. So if you only have 10 minutes, forget about it. Take 10 minutes out. You know, it take a little time during your lunch period. Like I'm talking to my like I'm a teacher like I am.
But
when you have your lunchtime, you know, take 10 minutes, go walk up and down the stairs if you're at that level. If you're not, like go, if you feel like going outside, walk around the block a couple times. Like that sort of stuff, even if it's only for 10 minutes, it will make you feel so much better.
Completely agree.
It's so much better. Not only like physically, but also mentally, spiritually. You'll get out there and do that. It's like the little tiny things. Be creative. Maybe like with your team at work, instead of like doing a meeting where you guys sit down the traditional style, like actually take the meeting outside and do a walk with it. You might be surprised. You can generate some amazing ideas on a walk where you're
very true.
Going
That's when
around.
I come up with all of my best stuff is when I'm exercising. Well, speaking of, okay, so you are a teacher and you've been teaching for how long?
Forever.
That's all you've done. You are dinosaur age,
as my students say. Yeah, no, I've actually been teaching now for about, believe it or not, over 19 years.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, with all out of all of your students, what do you think your students would say about you if they asked?
Sometimes I'm annoying.
To describe you.
Annoying. But they'll probably say I'm persistent. I care about them. I'm probably annoying at times.
Yeah. Maybe just
I really want them to succeed. So I really believe that every student can learn. Every student has like the possibility to do their very best, and so I don't like to place limitations, and so sometimes they get frustrated because I expect a lot from them.
Well, where do you think you got that from?
Probably my father.
Yeah?
Yeah.
His name is Harvey as well, right?
He is Harvey as well. Yeah. That's what the documentary is. It's Like Harvey, Like Son. And so Rudy Harris is the director of the film. Mm-hmm. And when I came to him with this idea, actually we were on a trip down in the gorge and we were doing a commercial for Road ID. And I said, hey guys, I'm going to do this wild adventure next summer and I'd love to have you guys come on out. But I'm not going to tell you just yet what it is. So I finally told him what it was. But I kind of had envisioned, I didn't see the story that he captured, which was so much bigger and better than just what I had, initially planned is just, okay, catching a documentary of me running along the Appalachian Trail, which the trail is absolutely amazing, for so many reasons, but capturing the story between my father and I, it brings in a whole nother level of drama and the human experience that anyone can relate to.
Have you guys always gotten along?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Maybe because he's a lot like you.
Yes. Yeah. No, we get along. I love my father, but he always would push, in terms of we'd have these Sunday conversations. My parents were divorced. So every Sunday we'd have a conversation and he would just be giving me this lecture about whatever. I'm like, Dad, oh my God, I've heard this long enough. It's an hour and something. I've had enough of this lecture. Yeah, so, but we certainly have gotten along very well. Yeah.
Well, I know I'm a lot like my mom, and I also love and hate the woman more than anyone else in the world. And I can fight more intensely with her, but also I have a mom tattoo, but I love her more intensely than anything else.
Oh my.
Get it out. Yeah.
That is impressive.
And
that's amazing.
And and she's tough, but also I feel like I get all my best traits from her, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
That's so nice.
You know? Did your dad like being on the trail with you? Because he rode, so I haven't seen the film, but your dad rode next to you in a truck most of the way?
Oh, yeah. He's absolutely the star of the film. I'm secondary. Yeah. He's like, no, it's true. He has got a truly impressive demeanor. He loved it. He fell in love with the whole experience. He was handing out food to people or through hikers along the trail, and he actually became younger in the experience.
Yeah.
He is already very young for his age. He's actually turning 80 next month. And this weekend ahead is the Twin Cities Film Festival, and they're going to celebrate his 80th birthday there.
Awesome.
So, but he had to do so many things. He had to drive that F-250 beat-up van up and down these mountains on gravel roads that most no one would want to drive on.
Yeah.
And there's no road maps, really. I mean, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to stop and make me food and make tents every night, get up at 4 a.m.
That's dedication.
I mean, he's dedicated. I mean, honestly, I didn't hear one negative comment out of him, so...
Ah, wow.
He was a tough man.
Yeah, seriously. Well, you too. You know, I've never heard you, even just when Harvey just arrived in the building, he sent me a text and I had to go let him in and you said, it's okay, take your time, no worries.
Oh,
Like, no big deal at all. You're so humble and you seem to be so giving and so you don't make anything about yourself. And with that humanity piece of it, have you ever wanted to quit anything because you are human.
Absolutely. Harvey. Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever quit anything?
Yes, I have.
What?
Yes. I mean, I've quit this.
You need to die.
I did quit one race. I was, other than the Big Backyard Ultra, like in Laz's mind, the Godfather, mm-hmm. he says that that's a DNF, did not finish.
Okay.
But I actually did quit a race in Greece. It was like the Spartathlon. It's a 153-mile race.
Yeah.
And this is almost 10 years ago. So I have to go back and reface that.
Yeah.
That, what monster, I guess you call it. But in with racing, that was, I didn't like that. I didn't like quitting. So after that, I pretty much made up my mind, unless something is like severely broken or, you know, it's a life or death situation, yeah. I'm not going to quit.
So why did you quit that race?
Well, that'd be a long story, but to make the long story short, we had an emergency landing on the way to Greece, where we thought there could have been a fire. So we went from like 38,000 feet to landing in about 5.5 minutes. That mm-hmm. was interesting, Manchester, England. And I ended up getting to the race about midnight, and the race started at 6 a.m. or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was not very humble about, mm-hmm. or let's see, I was a little bit, I should have been a little more reserved, because you get so excited being in the capital of Greece, mm-hmm. in Athens. It's so amazing. The Acropolis is right there where the race begins. And the Greeks are incredible. Like, they actually treat this as like a mythological race, because Pheidippides ran from Athens to Sparta. So like the Greeks Great. Lined the whole race.
That's cool.
And they're cheering and everything. So myself and this Brazilian, we tore off like we were running the marathon in the Olympics, even though I didn't get any sleep.
Yeah.
And after about 116 miles, I got, well, actually it was around 100 something. I got to this mountain.
Yeah.
And I saw why Pheidippides had like, you know, had like he had like illusions,
yeah,
of the god Pan going up over that mountain, so uh-huh. I could see, like, I actually had like a little bit of like that myself, and but I had just totally destroyed all my energy, and so I got to 160 miles, and I thought, how in the world can I get to 153 miles? Because I don't feel like I can go another half a mile.
Oh yeah,
and so at that point, I hadn't learned enough about myself, about how you can tap into deeper levels of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had my dad and my stepmother were there, mm-hmm. along with my ex-girlfriend at the time. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt bad for them too, because they were out in this rain trying to follow this route through these mountains, and it wasn't very easy. So I took the easy route out, and I said, okay, I think I'm just going to go lay down in the car.
All right.
Drive back to
school. Well, you know, but, like, moments like that, you learn so much.
Yeah, you learn a lot.
And now you can, like, warmly talk about it, that, like, I wasn't aware of this. And I'm sure since then you've never quit.
Never.
And did you learn how to train and treat your body differently?
I learned that if you just keep on going, you somehow can tap into, like, other energy. Like, if you just keep on going through those extremely low points, eventually you can actually rejuvenate yourself. So on the Appalachian Trail, that was another time. That time, I was probably the next time where I felt closest to quitting, because it's 2,190 miles. You climb up Mount Everest about every 3.5 days at the rate I was going. And so I was communicating with my friend back here, Matt Garrett, in Cincinnati, because he was looking at the maps on the days ahead of us. And I had never spent any major time out in the Appalachian Trail. A lot of these people come out and run this are coming from like mountainous areas or,
mm-hmm.
I kind of have, there's not a lot of mountains around here. But
Cincinnati
hills,
terrain,
there are
hills.
Great hills,
A lot of different climates, which is great.
Absolutely. So every day, Matt, I would say, how's tomorrow looking? And every day was like a oh shit moment, because every day there was like, oh shit. Like, you mean I have to get up at 3:30 in the morning to make it to the top of the highest point in the Smoky Mountains so that I can make it to the next possible intersect point with my father? Oh shit. You know, and then every day it was nonstop. I never had any time to like look at social media or my emails, which was also kind of a blessing also, because a lot of times we get so caught up in our phones and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to be a little separated from that. But I definitely felt moments on that trail where I wasn't sure if I was breaking myself, like permanently, possibly, I thought, you know, it would be a lot easier just to disappear to some Caribbean island and maybe people forget that I have made this.
Is that where your mind goes when you want to quit?
No, not necessarily, but I do love to travel. It's one of my greatest passions. So, yeah, my mind goes there a lot of times. Yeah. I think about places that I could only imagine that I want to get myself out to.
Well, so I think it must be a pretty dire moment when you, who you've put your body through so much, you've already, you know, you've physically exerted more than anybody else I've ever heard of, and you think that you're going to break something permanently, and you haven't done that yet. Have you really been injured?
Other than the car accident where I broke my neck.
Where someone hit you.
Yeah. I did, I avoided a car that had spun out, and I rolled over like multiple times. Yeah. But other than that, I've been fortunate, knock on wood, to not to break anything. So that's been incredible. But the Appalachian Trail, I quite honestly did fall over 100 times. Like the record was I fell 7 times in one day. So it was, I got to a point where when I would fall, I was really good at falling. Like I looked like someone jumping out of an airplane or something like that. Cause I could catch myself with my arms usually a bit and like kind of like lower myself a little bit and then like roll either to the right or left. But I got to a point where my hands were so bruised that it was actually painful to even touch them. So then I had to be kind of creative with even the way I fell. Yeah, so I really did beat myself up, but I didn't break anything miraculously. And I just learned to like, it's kind of wild, but when it was a really serious technical area where if you fall, you're going to be really, really hurt. Mm-hmm. I took that slower and I just like was super cautious not to fall. Typically, I'd fall in places where you're like, are you serious? How did I just fall there? There's like one rock. I fell, managed to trip right over it. You know, it's like, what is going on? But yeah, it's kind of wild that, I attribute that, like you think, oh, when you grew up, you probably heard about the 4 food groups. Oh, and I need to drink milk to have strong bones, etc. But it's interesting because I say it's actually quite opposite of that. You have to have a diversified set of like food choices, but eating more green leaf vegetables and things like that actually really strengthens your bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So what is your life mantra?
Jesus is never give up. Like absolutely never give up. No matter where you are. I mean, I think it's so human it's everybody out there. We all are facing, you know, challenges in life. We're all facing forces against us. And it's, you know, we feel that challenge. Like, do we keep going? Do we give up? Keep going. Just keep on going. And for me personally, that's been really something that in my favorite films would have to be Shawshank's Redemption and like The Count of Monte Cristo. Those are two of my favorite films.
What about The Revenant?
Yeah, that's incredible.
All of a sudden, you're just reminding me of Leo. He won't die.
That.
You're like the same.
I love it. It's
you know
so
what?
Good.
Like you, I honestly started thinking of The Revenant because I remember when I saw that movie, I had just torn my MCL and I was living in the mountains and I couldn't ski and I had the worst attitude about it. I had got the mountain had to be open for 32 days and I had already clocked in 28 days. I had already like crushed mountains that I hadn't been able to do before and I was just performing so well. And then I tore my MCL and then I just complained about it. And then I saw the movie The Revenant and realized I am just a baby. I am so complaining and it's all in my head. And you just got to keep going no matter what. And you strike me as someone you lived your life that way all day, every day.
I love that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know, I just think about all the human experiences out there. And I mean, I'm inspired by so many of them. I mean, I've got a friend who lives in Haiti, David. And, you know, he has to really be in have a lot of ingenuity about just his survival. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like when you live in a developing country, half the people in the world, believe it or not, live off of less than a dollar.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you think about that kind of hardship and enduring that, I mean, there's no getting into the vehicle and driving to Sparta. You know, it's like mm-hmm. you either survive or you don't survive. So you have to keep moving.
What do you want to accomplish next?
The next? Oh, man, that's great. Well, since it's right now, there are so many things I'd love to do.
What's the first thing that came to your head when I said that?
Well, it's probably because I have this 24-hour world championship. So yeah. I would have to say, like, go to that. Definitely, like, contribute to my team. Mm-hmm. Be one of the top three members would be amazing if I can help our team score mm-hmm. and finish and maybe win the race or finish in top three. That'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So also, I've got this thing where my dream is to make it to 100 countries this year.
And this so, just this year.
Not just this year. I've been working on this.
You have a full-time job. No, what are you going to do this?
I've been working at it since I was like 19. I went off to Belize, like on a whim. Mm-hmm. So I'm at 99, believe it or not. So I got one more country
that you've never been to. Okay.
Yeah, so I got one more country to hit. I mean, this year. And then my dream is to go to all the countries.
Yeah, there are like
197. Yeah, it depends. Like, you know, in terms of like what you look at, if you look at what the United Nations recognizes mm-hmm. or etc. Yeah. But yeah, so like that's going to be a really neat milestone in my life.
Wait, so it's 100 in your lifetime?
So far.
Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. So oh, that's not amazing. In 1 year. It's been a lot this year anyways. I think I've been, I can't even tell you right now, but I think I've been to about a dozen countries this year. And maybe like at least 10 were new, 9 or 10 were new ones.
When you talk about your travels, is there one place that really grabs your heart?
Portugal is really one of those places. Yeah, it's one of my top 5 favorite countries. And it's just an incredibly romantic country. Its geography is relatively small. You can travel there for a relatively affordable price. Like mm-hmm. it's cheaper than living in the United States. Mm-hmm. And the quality of life is really high in terms of like, when you go to eat food there, you will say, oh my God, what in the world have I been missing here?
Yeah.
The food is extraordinary. It's the best I eat year round. And the people are really terrific. They're wonderful. But they have like the North has incredible like wine regions, and you have just these incredible, giant, beautiful Catholic churches and Roman roads. Mm-hmm. The national park has wild horses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it has so many beautiful places.
So do you know where your 100th country is going to be?
I don't. But I've been looking at flights. The flights are just so expensive right now, and my window is very narrow left. Mm-hmm. So I have like the winter holiday from teaching. So I have to go sometime in that window.
Yeah.
And prices are just really high there. Crazy. So we'll see. I'm like leaning towards Africa.
So, oh yeah.
Yeah, another African country. I feel drawn towards Africa. I mean, it's like there's so many amazing places in the world. But that's the thing about the world that I feel so grateful for the opportunity to travel as many places, because it's just absolutely magical. I mean, every time I go somewhere new, I'm just blown away by something I see that I had no idea that even mm-hmm. existed.
Do you think that feeling you just described, you experienced when you went to Belize when you were 19?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I went to Belize on a whim. My mom thought it was crazy. I went down there by myself, and I fell in love with it. Belize has like the second largest reef in the mm-hmm. world. And I got to go diving in the reef there and then exploring the Mayan ruins.
Yeah.
I ended up running out of money the last day.
Yeah.
So I had to sleep on a runway, an abandoned runway down in Dangriga.
Awesome.
And so it was some adventures. I ended up like buying machete and chopping through the rainforest down there to go through, go see this really beautiful waterfall. It's kind of nice.
That's awesome. But,
it was kind of cool. It was an extraordinary experience, and it just really set off that passion to like learn more and travel more. So mm-hmm. I do try to like encourage my students and other people to do the same.
You seem to be a pretty interesting teenager because you ran your first ultra marathon when you were 15.
Yeah, no,
right? your first marathon when you were 15.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Usually I was only chasing the ice cream truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because did I read somewhere, were you a pudgy kid?
I was a pudgy kid. I was like the second biggest kid in my school. So
no
most
way.
Of people that saw me after that experience, they thought, what in the world was happening? Someone kidnapped Harvey.
Yeah, what happened though, really?
Well, my dad, actually, it kind of goes back to him. He took me out west and we went to the Wind River Mountains in Wyoming. And quite honestly, like spending the summer with him, I ate a little healthier with my stepmother and my father, and we just we did this hike that pushed me beyond what I thought I could do at that time. And he never pushed me. It wasn't like he would say, "Oh, you must do this." But I wanted to keep going on. I didn't want to stop. And I lost a lot of my weight then, and I got into running. So and the marathon was something that kind of I remember watching it on, I used to watch the cartoons on Saturday morning in Cleveland. I grew up in Cleveland.
Oh, cool.
And I always loved the Saturday cartoons. And I remember this marathon came on. And I was like, I was so mad. I was like, they've cut out my cartoons. I've got this marathon to watch. What the hell is
boring.
Happening?
Boring. It's like an NASCAR race.
Like, what in the world? Yeah. But I was watching a marathon. And after watching a little bit, I was like really taken aback by these people. And I thought, wow, it really just boggled my mind. How can someone even run 26 miles? That seems like impossible. What is it? How's that even possible? And so at that time, I could probably run about maybe halfway around the block, maybe at the end of my street. I don't know. But it kind of, the idea stuck with me. And I remember eighth grade is the first time I ran, and I wasn't a good runner, but I just enjoyed kind of socializing with other people and running. And my coach in eighth grade said, "Oh, that's a foolish idea to think about doing the marathon." He had calf muscles like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he had done the marathon. He said it was the most painful experience he ever had in his life. So I thought, okay, I guess I won't do it. But then a year later, I had this stubborn like side of me, and my mom fortunately would just go along with just about anything I came up with.
Nice.
So, so I was like, "Mom, I think I'm gonna do the marathon. Wait, can you sign me up?" And so she was a nurse and she worked weekends. So I actually had to take the train down from my home in Berea down to Cleveland, which I had like zero experience in the city.
Yeah.
And oh my God, the first 8 miles, I thought, "Oh, this would be easy. I'll just run like 8 minute pace, no problem." I got to like mile 9 and I felt like, "Oh my God, I'm going to die." So I had to figure out how I was going to run and walk the rest of the way. And I somehow managed to make it across the finish line at the end. And that experience just awakened me that most of us are not even really aware that of how much potential we have, whether that's physical, mental, or otherwise potential we have inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of set off this adventure to like chase that limit. What is possible next? And it took me 5 years to break 5 hours in a marathon. But then I finally, I managed to, after I broke my neck, I actually, I got faster and faster. And also after I became plant-based, I'm faster and faster.
When was that?
And I actually became vegetarian when I was 19.
So, oh, okay. This has been 20. A whole lifestyle for you.
Yeah, so it was like
forever.
23 years ago. Yeah, and I got a lot faster then. And then after I broke my neck, believe it or not, you think like, what, that things are over with? I actually got way faster after that again, just kind of like changed my mindset even further.
Yeah.
And and so it's kind of wild, but the whole experience was set off by that marathon. And then now I can do the marathon in almost half that time.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah, so it's like my fastest one was a year ago. So it's wild how you can continuously get faster and faster, even though I'm in my 40s now. Like I can be like way faster than I was when I was like 20.
Wow, yeah, that's so cool.
It's so wild.
And so when you got hit by a car, how old were you?
I was 25.
Okay. And did you have a brush of death? Like, were you scared that your life?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It was a really scary experience to have happen. But as my car was flipping over, I was thinking I wasn't planning on dying today. Like it was life flashed in front of me. And it's like they say, like everything became like a nanosecond, like time slowed down. And when I ended up upside down in my vehicle after flipping over like four times, I thought, well, geez, the car is going to catch on fire or something. I let myself, took the seatbelt off, fell on top of the roof of the car, which was actually the bottom. And now I tried to kick out the glass. And I couldn't believe it. Like, I kicked it as hard as you can humanly kick the glass from the inside. I'm like, someone just broke in my vehicle like a month ago. It was very hard for them. I couldn't break the glass. Wow. And I managed to crawl out the back glass because it was partially broken. And then I felt like, as soon as I had, even though I felt like whiplash, I felt like, you know, something might not be right. I felt like I had just, there's nothing that could describe it, but it was like winning $1 billion. Like, I mean, it's like, it just like, I felt like lightning. I felt so good to be alive.
Alive.
And then I got to the hospital and met with the doctors, and they didn't realize anything was wrong because I was pretty calm. And then they did that like x-rays, and they're like, whoa, you gotta lay down, we gotta stabilize you. Your neck's broken now. So like then they did traction, they stuck these spikes in my head and like tried to like fix things. They couldn't. So the next day Dr. Mandy Burr did surgery on my fifth and sixth vertebrae, and grateful for amazing surgeons as well as the residents who were there, and the nurses were phenomenal too.
Wow. So I would think a brush with death would really motivate you.
Oh, yeah, it does.
To push harder. Oh, my gosh.
It does. I'm actually, I mean, this may sound crazy, but I'm actually very grateful for having had that experience and survived it. I mean, you could end up having arthritis and things like that, but I've had absolutely zero side effects from, like, once I got beyond, like, the first couple months, like, absolutely zero side effects. And it's amazing, like, you know, taking care of your body means everything. But when you have that opportunity to say, okay, I could be dead tomorrow, what would I like to do if I was not to die tomorrow? Like, what would I still want to do with my life?
It's And do you tell yourself that all the time,
every
day?
Not enough. Like, it's like something you get pulled away from. I mean, unfortunately, I just spent like it was about 3 weeks ago, I was driving with my Jeep, coming back from Mohican to Columbus, Mohican State Park, and a man on a motorcycle flew off his motorcycle.
Oh.
Yeah, like about 110 meters in front of me. So myself and like these two other ladies, we were the first ones to get there. And fortunately, he survived. But when I saw the accident occur, like I kind of thought 50% chance he's going to be dead when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
But he survived. In fact, today I just got a text message from his friend saying, she said that he's doing well, that you know, I'm definitely gonna reach out and contact him, but it reminds you that you have to definitely appreciate the people in your lives, and you know, the opportunities that you have to chase after things, and no matter what's happening with you, whatever the obstacles and challenges are, you gotta try to make it a positive, like turn the story around and make it a positive. Otherwise, it will eat you.
Yeah. I would say eating you is a really good way to put it.
That's right.
You either barrel through it or it will eat you.
Yeah.
Man, Harvey Lewis, I feel like we could talk for four more hours.
I'm sorry. But I'm thank you for all the like nice three things you
this
said.
Oh, Harvey, it's true. I'm not in the running world, okay? Now. I'm not in the running world at all, but it's so true. It's nice to be in your presence. You have such a great aura about you and everything.
Thank you.
Like just me personally, similarly, I moved home because my mother is sick. She's terminally ill. And taking care of her every day and seeing her every day and watching her continue to get worse just gives me more zest that, like, no excuses. There are no excuses. And it's hard for me to live like that every single day, but you gotta do what you gotta do, you know? And you just seem to do it with such ease, which is so wonderful to see. So thank you very much for coming
on
Person of Interest, Harvey. And good luck with your next race. Okay, so then after Harvey and I turned the mics off, we started talking about the power of the mind and the power of polygenetics and how your mind can really transform your body into doing pretty much anything. And I really dug it, and so does Harvey. So then we turned the mics back on, and this is what happened.
Crazy.
So anyway, we got to this, Harvey, because I love talking and learning more about polygenetics, which is the power of the brain to transform your cells in your body and even your DNA, so that the new DNA that you create within yourself, you will pass on, which is different from the one that you inherited from your parents, you will pass on to your children or your spawn. So that's the, like, you're literally changing your DNA. And am I getting too off topic here?
No, not at all.
Am I a little bit?
No.
Well, anyway, we're talking about the power of mind over performance. So you perform at such a high level all the time. And everything that I've known and I've met and high-performing athletes, et cetera, you seem to be like you've never been hurt, you've never broken a bone, all of this. How does it work? Your mind, your brain power is stronger than your body, and you're making it work.
A lot stronger than my body, no.
than everybody's
no,
body,
no,
like, you know
no,
what
no,
I mean,
no.
in general.
There is so much to that. There's so much to the power of the mind.
Yeah.
Like, the mind is incredible. It can make us sick, and it can also help to make us well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it can influence your immune system, but the way that I can, like, now push myself, like, the first time I did a 24-hour race, the first time I did an ultra was back in 1996, in 23 years ago, and I ran 82.25 miles, which at the time I was just so, you know, just blown away by.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can push to almost, like, twice that distance. So when I tap in to my mind in France, and I'm running for 24 hours in this endurance race, I've just really focused deeply in, like, a meditative state almost,
mm-hmm.
Almost like a yoga type of mode. And I'm not always there. I'll come out of it, but I'll go back into it. And I just really have that positive, like, mantra, the positive mind moving forward. And it's incredible, but I can push through areas where I really want to quit, if
yeah.
I were to be honest with myself, or I might not be feeling really as well. I can make it through those low points. And to make it to 160 miles in one day, I have to maintain about a 9-minute pace. So,
oh my God.
It all comes into mind. Or when I go to Badwater and I'm running in this temperature, it's like 120 degrees. It's important to physically train yourself for that.
Yeah.
But I don't really think about the end point. I kind of, like, just become a little bit zen, and I just focus on the next telephone pole or the next aid station. It is so crucial, though. If I think that I can't do it, there's no way I would ever even begin to get halfway there. So I think it was, like, Teddy Roosevelt had this famous quote, something to the effect of, like, that if you believe you can, then you're halfway there. You know, like, the mm-hmm. power of the mind is incredible, and it's something that researchers are still seeking to discover. I mean, it's like the outer space, in a sense. Like, there's
yeah.
so much more to learn about with the mysteries behind the mind. But, you know, it's important to try to, like, in your own lives, think about finding those positives, finding relationships, the people that bring out the positives, finding Zen time for you every day. Everyone needs to have some sort of Zen time. And sometimes that's TV, but I would, like, suggest people, like, you know, also find some way to get outside in the nature, because we're part of nature, and we get so desensitized from nature, and nature is really good for us.
So what is your Zen time?
My Zen time, believe it or not, is a lot of times is when I'm running back and forth to work.
Yeah.
So people would be like, man, you are crazy, Harvey. Like, why are you want to run back and forth to work every day? That seems nuts, especially when it's snowing or raining or things like that. But I think now, I can't remember exactly, but I think I'm almost on, like, 7 years or something of running every day back and forth to work. through all those experiences. And actually, I find it like extremely invigorating. And to be honest with you, I promise you, I would not trade a Ferrari for my running back and forth to work. Like, I love it. Like, I actually really love it's. It's like I come to work, and you know, there's nothing any student could say to me or administrator or anyone else to get me fired up, because I've already like kind of let that energy out on the way to work, and so I feel relaxed. And then at the end of the day, like, it's been a long day. Maybe I'm like totally exhausted. To be honest with you, on Monday, I was running home from school and I managed to wipe out in front of the new Kroger.
Awesome. Yes, right. I hope everybody saw it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I tried to do a roll and bounce up at the same time, like I was Will Smith and so, or something. But yeah, I totally was getting tired. So yeah, I have my days where I'm really, really tired. I was so sleepy that day. But it actually, I do enjoy like running through Eden Park, running along the river. I mean, it's just a relaxing time. And hey, I'm in no rush. You know, it might take me like an hour to get home some days just because I take a little longer route and I go over to Kentucky. Yeah.
So you're not sitting there every morning on this strict meditation cycle where you sit in the same thing and wear the same thing every day. And
No. But I mean, I think that's, there's, everyone has their own styles. Like, I have a friend, Alan, and he meditates every single day religiously. And I think that's phenomenal. I mean, I would maybe like to do that one day. And tomorrow, in fact, I want to go to yoga. Like, I'm planning to go to hot yoga tomorrow evening. I haven't been in a little while.
But, oh, nice. Where do you go?
The one that's in Columbia, Tusculum.
Oh, me too. Moto. I was just there today.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? So yeah, I'm planning to go tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be, for me, it's a good experience before I go off to France to try to get into that mindset and the relaxing with the breathing. The breathing is so important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that's like not just running. It's like, it transcends like all sports. I mean, it could be martial arts.
Yeah.
It could be like all kinds of things. You know, the power of the mind.
When you find your flow. I like to say, I love yoga.
It's so nice.
It's my favorite thing.
But I look goofy.
No, everybody does, though.
I'm like, seriously, like, I look terrible.
But similarly, though, I always find, like, I lose myself in it. And I'll just keep my eyes closed as long as I possibly can. And I don't even realize what I'm doing. And it's those are the moments when, if you care about performance, you perform the best. I'm just in a room, in a dark room, and I don't really care what's going on. You know, I'm not running in the Olympics like you are. But I feel like those are the times.
One day. When I'm like in my 50s.
But I feel like those are the times where you do the best. And so you find you can let go while you're running 160 miles in one day.
That's what we'll try. That'll be my new record. My previous is 158.9.
Oh, my God.
So we'll see if I can get the record for myself.
You got 1.1 miles.
One more. Yeah, that's
dang.
Right.
I feel like you need to nickname that little mile. Like, you just need, I'm going to get you, whatever, you know? These are the people behind the stories that matter to you. Thanks for listening to Q&O2's Person of Interest with Jeff Thomas.